Let's now come to our God in prayer and ask for his blessing upon his holy word. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, how thankful we are that we can gather again on a second time on this day of rest that you have provided for us. Lord, we see your care in giving us a week where 6 days we're able to labor and do all that's necessary for the week, but then you give us this one day out of seven where, as you rested in the very beginning of time, we're able to rest as you, and where your Son came into this world and died on the cross and rose from the dead on the first day of the week, so we can gather on this first day where we're able to gather together for worship and where we have the opportunity to look at your word. Lord, there are so many things that can crowd into our lives that can take away this opportunity. We see a dying culture all around us as they not only have neglected this day, but they are neglecting you. And we pray that we, as your people, would find joy once again, being able to gather together with your people and with your saints in heaven, as we together with them praise and give you thanks for all that you have given. And Lord, as we look at your word this afternoon, help us to understand it. Help us to be able to put it into practice. Help us, Lord, to know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we turn to the Bible, please turn to the back of the Psalter hymnal and turn to page 61. The back of the Psalter hymnal, we're going to be reading from the Heidelberg Catechism, which gives an explanation of what it means to believe in the Lord. And in this section of the Catechism, we're dealing with the Lord's Prayer. We're looking this afternoon at the third request in Lord's Day 49 of the Lord's Prayer, which is, "Your will be done." And so we have the question there, what does the third request mean? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven" means, help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any backtalk. Your will alone is good. Help everyone carry out the work he's called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. So we're going to be looking at the third petition, which we do find in Matthew's Gospel. We'll read from Matthew 26 at this time, so please turn there in your Bibles to Matthew 26, and we're going to read from verses 36 to 46, as we see that in light of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 26, you'll find that on page 1146 of the Pew Bible. So Matthew 26, beginning our reading at verse 36. Hear now God's holy and inspired word. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And that ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Well, once again, the text is from Matthew chapter 6, particularly the third petition that we find there. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all like to have our own way. Children like to ask their parents different questions like, Dad, can I play another computer game? Well, son, you've already played for the limited time that you're allowed to play. Ah, but Dad, can I play just a little bit more? Just one more game? Or do I have to go to bed now, Mom? Well, it's already 8:30. Mom, can I stay up just for a little bit longer? Can I just be awake for a little bit longer? Children like to see if they can change the will of their parents. They want to have their own will rather than their parents. And already a baby starts out that way, showing his true nature of wanting to get his own way with his lung capacity or some other way. Often, as little children before our great and perfect Father, we do the same thing. Whether we're young people, couples, or seniors, can I have my own way? Can I have my own way? We all like to have our own way. All of us would like perpetual holidays. All of us would enjoy doing things that just please us. All of us would be happy if the whole world revolved around us. Yet in contrast to our sinful wills is the will of the Lord. The simple truth is the world does not rotate around us, but around the Lord. And he wants us to recognize that fact. He does this by instructing us to pray, because prayer is not about self. It's not about us. It's about God. It requires self-denial to renounce our sinful wills and to obey his perfect will. And so the third petition is what is something that should all interest us as we struggle to do the will of God. And as we find encouragement in Jesus' own life at the apex of his own suffering. Here was the real obedience of God's will. Here's real power to obey the Father. Because as the darkness of God's judgment began to surround Jesus, he lifted up a petition. We see that petition in verse 42 of that chapter that we read, chapter 26 of Matthew, and it's repeated in verse 44. 42 and verse 44, Your will be done, he said. He had taught the disciples to pray to their heavenly Father back in chapter 6, verse 10, Your will be done. And here Jesus is praying that prayer himself, exactly with the same words. You know, congregation, Jesus never tells you to pray a prayer that he's not willing to pray himself. And here in the face of the greatest injustice in the history of the world, the wrath of God falling upon the sinless lamb, here in this experience of the sinless man bearing the load of sin, here in the face of the terror of the righteous judge, Jesus prays a prayer of submission. Your will be done. Congregation, there's no one here who has ever gone through a more difficult situation than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says to pray, Father, your will be done, he's not speaking as one in heaven who has not experienced the difficulties of earth. He's done more than he'll ever ask you to do. And so your prayer for the submission to the will of God is at the very heart of your calling as a Christian. Jesus had to face the wrath of God alone, and even here in the garden, in isolation, as that wrath of God was beginning, Christ shows us how to ask for grace to obey God's will in all situations. And therefore, consider the third petition this afternoon. It arises first out of our failure and weakness. Secondly, toward the Lord. And then thirdly, according to that heavenly pattern. So first of all, out of our failure and weakness, this prayer comes. What we are called to pray for is that God would help us to obey the Father's will. That may be that he may be served on earth as perfectly as he is in heaven. The Catechism, as we read, explains the third petition in this way: grant that without murmuring we would obey your will. May we act according to your will revealed in the Bible. Now the question is, what is this? What are we talking about when we're speaking of the Lord's will? Are we describing God's secret plan for our lives, which was arranged before the beginning of the world? Or does the word will describe God's law, his command to us? Well, there are two sides to his will. There is his revealed will, and there is his secret will. We read in a well-known passage in the book of the Old Testament about that, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, which says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which he has revealed to us and our children forever, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do the words of the law. So we call that the revealed will of God. And the secret things, God's decrees. Now, we should never say we're never concerned about the hidden will of God. And only with the revealed will, we're concerned about both. We have to obey God's commands, and we're to submit to his hidden or secret will. As parents, there are areas in the life of our children that we cannot control, where we want good things to happen to them. And if they're sick, it's easy to pray that desperate prayer, please help them to get better. But knowing inside ourselves that we're not praying with that right spirit, thinking to ourselves that the Lord won't help at all, even if we pray this, That's not concerned about the Lord's will. Instead, we're to remember that the Lord would help them get better, but help us to trust you in knowing what is best. Or when we get seriously ill and suffer many thorns and thistles, those dark times, they don't come by chance, but by our Father's will. We cannot rebel against them. We can't rattle our chains. We know that everything that we go through is by his plan. even if we don't know what God has in store for us. And certainly that's partly why we pray, not my will, but yours be done. We're sensitive to bow in advance to God's decisions that we won't run counter to them in our own desires. And yet, as necessary as that is for our lives, that's not the subject of this petition in the Lord's Prayer. God's secret plan for our lives is not our business, it's the Lord's business. We're to involve ourselves with what God has revealed, and that is His law, His commands. With the third petition, Jesus told the 12 disciples around Him that they were to focus on God's law, specifically to ask God that every action may be determined by God's will, which is revealed in Holy Scripture. How do we know that that's what He meant? Well, just by the simple phrase that is added with the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. God's will done in heaven is perfect. The angels perfectly obey the Lord. There's that perfect obedience. And the Lord has given us His will as well. We have the Bible. It's full of instructions for us about how He wants us to live in this world. We not only have the Ten Commandments, but everything that He commands to keep the Lord's Day holy, to do that by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but not just in church matters, in family matters, to train up a child in the way he should go, that he would not depart from it, to love your wife, to obey and submit to your husband, in your personal life, to serve God and not to serve idols, to make sure that I don't commit adultery, or steal, or bear false witness, and to make the hard decisions in life, which sometimes involve searching God's will in a difficult situation as we look at the Word of God. What does it say about this? It's getting down to everyday life, keeping the Word in the nitty-gritty of life where we find it so hard, where it's hard to be obedient. But because of the sinfulness remaining in us, we have difficulty carrying out the will of our God. We acknowledge that the Lord is Lord. We know we need to obey His commands, but we're too weak to consistently do what the Lord requires of us. There's a whole Bible full of instruction, and we're called to keep it all. And we know how far fall we short from that. We come to church where God calls us to come each Sunday. We do that obediently, but we don't do that perfectly. You know, the Lord wants us to listen to His Word, to take it to heart, to learn from it. But reality is, thoughts drift away. You know, they start thinking about that lab report that's due this week, or about that kitchen project that we're working on, or whatever it might be. That's human weakness. And Satan loves that. He loves us to have that tendency to let our minds wander rather than to do something about that. And so here's where the petition hits home for us. As I struggle with concentration, I pray, Lord, help me to stay focused on what is being said. Help me to take Your Word to heart. And tomorrow's going to be a different situation. You'll get up, children. You might do that to your best of your ability, but instead of getting down to business, tidying up your room and eating breakfast as your mom tells you, you ignore what your mom says and you do what you want. And when she says something, you can be in a bad mood. So you need to pray for help in this area, that the Lord would help you to listen to their instruction. And moreover, as a father, you know, you might work hard during the week to put food on the table. But as a father, you're imperfect. Your children need direction from you. They need wisdom. And sometimes there's that matter of knowing when to put down the skill saw and when to, you know, put aside that work that maybe has to be done right this minute and spend that time with your children, opening up their catechism books, working through the catechism with them. To ask God for strength to deny your own will, to know when to put down the hammer. Calmly and willingly do His will by asking your children, how are you doing spiritually? By taking that time. And as a wife, you work hard too. You're up from morning till night doing everything from nursing a baby to answering the phone to putting meals on the table to getting after your kids to work on time. And even here, you're weak, you're imperfect. You know that you ought to be submissive to your own husband, but you struggle with that. Whether that be with the tongue or in taking on decisions that ought to be given to your husband. You know, and here's where the prayer of the Lord is what we need. You know that you struggle with this. You know that you struggle with this, and so you pray for grace. And you realize that we could give a dozen of examples down from the way that we conduct ourselves in the office or in the school or in the places of life, in our apartments, whatever it might be. We're praying that God would help us to carry out that work that we're called to. And the Catechism does speak about that here, about the station of life that we're in. The word that it uses here is the office that the Lord has placed us. It's not just speaking here of the offices in the church, like a minister, pastor, or an elder, a minister, elder, or a deacon. But everyone's calling. If I'm a son or a daughter, it's taking care of my aging parents. I pray for grace to help me to do that in a way that honors the Lord. If I'm single, I pray for grace to live that way, that I would willingly and faithfully carry out the work that He has called me to. And you see, here's where the prayer takes on a new dimension and gets away from praying for the same things all of the time. And praying prayers, rather, that instead breathe the air of real life. And what really matters most of all. And we all know our struggles. So the question always needs to be on our minds. Father, what do you want me to do? What is your will for me in this situation? And how should I work it out? And I pray for grace. I pray because I'm not perfect. We don't just have it in ourselves to do God's will because we only have a small beginning of obedience. And we can't do God's will when life is full of problems. So where do we go for help? We need help, congregation, if we want to obey the third petition. Well, that brings us to what we see here. Secondly, how our prayer then arises to the Lord. And here we're brought into the Garden of Gethsemane. That's why we considered that passage this afternoon. We see there that Jesus earns for us the obedience that we owe to God. Can be obedient through His obedience and be submissive through His submission. And here the weakness of the disciples is highlighted. They had pledged to be faithful to Him. And Matthew is highlighting the failure of the disciples to follow through on their brave words. In this circumstance, Jesus is seeking his disciples to pray with him, but they're weak. Highlighting again their weakness and their failure. This was the hour of his need, and everything that he was doing it for them. And he needed them just to stay awake. All he asks is that they would remain with him and keep watch and pray. And yet when he came, he found them, not once, not twice, but three times, sleeping. There's no sharp rebuke. There's no harsh word of condemnation. There's only those loving, pleading words of warning for their good. Watch with me in prayer. Are you still sleeping? Do you not know that the hour of temptation is upon us? And there in Gethsemane, he was weeping. Hebrews 5 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who's able to save from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Jesus was overwhelmed at Gethsemane, weeping at Gethsemane, weeping and praying. These were not tears of self-pity. They were tears, as Hebrews tells us, of godly fear, tears of tender love. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But note that they were also tears of agony. The only kind of suffering that he could endure, as he was called to suffer his whole life on earth. The weeks that led up to this point were hard, but now it was the hardest for him. And instead of following his emotions, what did he do? He prayed. He told his Father of his situation, telling him of his anguish, and then sought his will for him in this situation. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He was experiencing something that he never experienced before. And Jesus prayed, not once, not twice, but three times. Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. The cup was full. And he knew why he was here on earth. And as the day drew closer, he said, now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But no, it's for this very reason that I came. He saw it. He knew it was coming. And yet when he said, for this cause come I to this hour, Father, glorify your name. You see, he felt the suffering. But now in Gethsemane, he was facing the reality of the cup, and the dregs of this cup became thicker. And he saw what he had to go through. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Overcome with sorrow so much as to cause one's death. He came to see the pain that was coming on him. The heavenly, holy will of God, that all the sins of his people, all the wrath that they deserve, being poured out upon him. And so Jesus made it his business to pray the third petition. He made it his business to seek God's strength in his particular and pressing circumstances, to deny self and to do what God wanted him to do. He prayed and so laid before him and carried out these instructions that he gave to us. He prayed and laid this situation before his Father. It's the first time that the Son of Man uses the word if. It's not a sinful if. He didn't surrender to that if. He surrendered to the will of his Father. He said, "Your will be done." And there's the answer to our obedience to God and how we must pray the third petition. He who was not sin became sin for us. He holds the power because he drank this cup and has gone through sorrow like no other man, taking on our sins and laying down his life for us. And here's the answer for our forgiveness. Here's the answer for our strength to obey. God did not spare his Son, but he gave him up for us all. So we know our weakness. God's answer is the power of his Son. Out of Christ's strength, we can do his will. And that brings us to see, thirdly, that we have a prayer that calls us to conform to that heavenly pattern. And that brings us back to our first point about our weaknesses and our faults and how we pray for strength. But how we can be more resolved to conform to the heavenly pattern in our lives. The fact is, we tend to pray with ourselves as the focus of our prayers. With the first petition, the Lord teaches us that we're to get our eyes off ourselves and instead we're to turn to Him. We live for His glory and we need to pray for His name to be hallowed, to be made glorious. But now we learn that this focus on God does not exclude any attention on ourselves. We must certainly have an eye on ourselves also and pray for ourselves, as will come clear from the next three petitions, but everything in its proper order. We're to give consideration of ourselves in submission to the greater goal of God's glory. We need to speak to God about our concrete situations, where we are at, and then speak to God about ourselves, not with a view to our comforts and our wishes, but with a view to His will and His glory. And what is His will? It's clear enough. It's His word. Sometimes we fall into the temptation to debate the will of God rather than to do it, as if it's something that can be disputed rather than learned or obeyed. The Catechism says, "Help us and all people to obey your will without any talk back." We know God's will. We know that we must make the right choices to honor Him and not to fall before any idols. We know that hatred is wrong. We know that adultery is wrong. We know that bearing false witness is wrong. We're asking Him to help us to stay away from sin and the subtle forms of temptation that can so easily overtake us. The difficulty is knowing God's will for us. The difficulty, rather, isn't knowing God's will for us. It's doing it. It's doing God's will. But here we have Jesus and this striking event in His life and how He told us to pray, "Not my will, but your will be done." Who prayed it Himself and lived it out by laying down His life for us. He's the source of strength. It's by obedience that we can even obey this petition. By His obedience that we can obey this petition. And praying this means that we'll deny ourselves, just as He did for us on the cross. How are we to do that? Well, it's easy to pray about things that are far away from us. You know, things like the government, pray for missions, for school, things removed from the dirt and grunge of our daily lives. These things are the safe things to pray for. We simply pray that the Lord will bless all mission work. We pray that God would give wisdom and help to governing authorities to carry out their office in a manner pleasing to the Lord. And prayer gets to a point where it's just a routine. And we can and we do say the same words to God in prayer day after day. Or we pray about those things close to us, our health, our happiness, our wants. But then we pray for our comfort, our wishes, our own, and not His glory. But Jesus is saying that we're to lay before the Lord the concrete circumstances that we're in, and then ask Him to help us to do what He wants. We ask that He would let His will be done in us. He will do that. Or rather, we will do that not only at set times when we sit down to eat or when we go to bed or when we begin or end a meeting. Instead, we're to pray without ceasing, continually, throughout the day, seeking the will of God for us, asking for strength to obey the Lord in every concrete, everyday circumstance, that in turn, His name is glorified through us. And so, congregation, tell your God exactly where things are at in your home or at work or in the community. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him your struggles. Tell Him what temptations you face. And ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do now? Wrestle with the Lord in prayer. And say, help me to do your will. For how gracefully the Lord has laid this all out in this prayer and the order of it. So that we render glory to God's name. We ask for His kingdom to come. And then also that we seek to do His will for His glory. Let us therefore do that. And devote ourselves and our ways to Him. Amen. Let's come to our God now in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, how thankful we are that You have called us Your children. And we thank You for the blessing that we have of coming to You with our concerns and our requests. But Lord, You teach us, first of all here, to remember Your glory, Your kingdom, and Your will. Father, we struggle with Your will because we have our own wills. And so we pray, therefore, that we would renounce what we want to do and help us instead to do what You want us to do without any backtalk. And that we would obey You as the angels do in heaven. Hear our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.